Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me on today's program is the producer himself of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hello, hello. We want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners from all across the country and the world. We're excited. We're excited to be with you today as we continue back-to-back, Pat, back-to-back VFN Radio programs. You don't want to miss it. If you miss some, of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com and make sure to go to the torch and get all the segments and all the highlights. But, you know, in today's program, we're going to be talking about the value of seeking understanding. Listen, it says get wisdom, but in all you're getting, make sure you get some understanding and get some insight into what God wants you to know when he wants you to know it. Also, we're going to be talking about the kid president and 20 things we should say more often. But before we do that, I know, Pat, you had something on your heart that you were just, you couldn't wait to talk about. And please, do tell, do share. What's on your heart?
Well, you know, I know how smooth you are.
Oh, really?
You know, I can't hold a candle to your smoothness. But there's another one.
Oh, do we have?
Who surpasses all of our smoothnesses.
Really? All of our smoothnesses? That doesn't take much. Okay, but let's, yes, go ahead, do tell.
My brother Chris.
You're Chris?
Oh my gosh. He is so smooth. Yeah.
I have to agree with that.
He just embodies Rico.
In fact, isn't that his nickname, Rico?
Rico Suave.
Oh, Rico Suave.
Of course you didn't know that.
Well, we just want to share that
with you.
We just
want to know, Chris, what did you do for Mar Jane on Valentine's Day? And you know what he said?
Well, you asked him that question.
I asked him the question.
During the break, because there was laughing at you.
Oh, just, yeah, laughing at us.
Which was appropriate. I mean, I have to agree, that was a good laugh. But you asked him, what did he do on this Valentine's for his wife, right? And what was his answer?
Oh, he gave no answer other than, you couldn't handle it.
You couldn't handle it?
It was just too smooth.
Well, then he also said, though, he also said, see, I don't know how good you were paying attention, because when we continued to press him, he looked back and said, I just did my job. I said, what? He said, I just did my job. I mean, smooth. I mean, I looked at him and just started shaking there for a second. I go,
I was quivering.
Wow.
I had nothing to say. I was speechless.
Standing beside yourself.
Beside myself, literally. I just did my job.
I just did my job. You know, Marjane, if you want to send us a text, you know, we are live on air. Please,
that's right.
Please feel
We're
free
taking interviews.
To reach out. Yes, my goodness. Wow, Chris, you amaze us. I mean, and to know, oh, he has two thumbs in his air. Look at that. and to know, I mean, one day hopefully we can get a chance to share on how, you know, Chris was just able to propose and just so smooth the way he did. But I tell you, I don't know how he was able to pull that off, Pat. I don't know how he was able to pull that off.
I don't know.
But you can't sleep on the quiet ones. You got to see the quiet ones, they'll fool you every time. Rico Suave.
That's it.
Any kind of insight, input? He doesn't say anything.
Nothing.
He's just leaning back. Look at that. Wow. We might have to put a picture up on the torch for everyone to see the smoothness. But
oh, yeah, I think I'm getting a text from Marjane right now.
Oh, text from Marjane. Text.
Wow. Whoa.
No, we can't share that on air. We can't
talk about
that. Okay. All right. Okay, Chris. We'll get back with you here in a minute.
Moving on.
We wanted to talk today about the value of seeking understanding. We started trying to find some understanding on, you know, Chris's smoothness, but we're going to keep going here. Because, you know, oftentimes, Pat, you know, if we're not careful, we kind of miss the magnitude of a moment. You know, we fail to appreciate the value of something or someone because we lack understanding. And have you ever had the experience where you met someone and at the time you didn't think, you know, much about the person that, you know, you're meeting, except, you know, you exchange some pleasantries and hello and that type of stuff. And then you leave only to find out that, oh my goodness, that man, that person is a significant person in the kingdom of, you know, in the community, let's say, and they're doing, you know, some amazing things, or that person's a significant person in the kingdom of God, you know, their labor and what they're doing and the contributions that they've added are awesome. And you're like, wow, man, I met that person. I wish I would have known, you know,
right.
Who that person was. Maybe we could have talked to them a little bit some more or get a chance to schedule something later, you know, because it's always awesome meeting wonderful people that are doing things to help others. You know, you always want to say, man, you know, what are you doing? That's great. How can we share that with more people?
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard a story. You've heard maybe a story or two in your lifetime. I'm sure you've heard this before where a person finds something that's very expensive, you know, at a yard sale or a garage sale, and the person that was selling it, you know, had no understanding of the value or significance that the item they were selling. I mean, how many times does that happen? People are, you know, giving away these silver coins, and, you know, they're selling all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you just sell my baseball cards to that guy for 10 cents? You know? Mom, did you know how much those things were worth? No, I had no understanding. I just, it was just taking up space, so we sold them, you know. And it's just, listen, we couldn't even imagine how many things have been given away that way. But the person normally who sold them or gave them away in the yard sale and said, you can have that bag, take those away. They're just some autographs there of some Saints fans. But, oh, got some attention. But they had no understanding that there was, they had value. And Proverbs 4:7 says that wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all, you have. Get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Get understanding. And there is nothing like realizing after the fact that you missed or failed to recognize something. There's nothing like it. It's like, oh my goodness, did I just miss this?
Mm-hmm.
It was right in front of you the whole time, but you totally missed it. And it's so important to understand that we're just passing through this place called Earth, and our existence as we know it today will be no more. I mean, we're just kind of like passing through. And so if we're passing through with our eyes closed and we have no idea of what is around us or who is around us,
mm-hmm.
we fail to appreciate all the beautiful things that are there and the people and all the different opportunities that are right at our feet. You know, over the weekend, I had a chance to run into a young man who was here on the Gulf Coast from Canada, and they were checking out of the hotel, and as I was just talking to him a little bit, I said, well, did you get a chance to go to the beach? Because mm-hmm. naturally, I'm thinking everyone that comes to the Gulf Coast goes to the beach. He goes, oh, no, we haven't. I go, you haven't? And he has come all the way from Canada, driving, you know? I go, hey, do yourself a favor before you go back home. Take an extra 10 minutes, 15 minutes from here and go see some of the most gorgeous beaches in the Gulf Coast. White, sugar, sand, emerald water. You got to see this thing. You're not going to see this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no understanding. He didn't understand. He did not know that just 15 minutes, he drove like hours, you know, across the country.
Days. What are you talking about?
Yeah, days to get to the Gulf Coast
mm-hmm.
and doesn't even know that he's 15 minutes from the shore.
Wow.
Missed opportunities, right? Because mm-hmm. you didn't know. And I've heard it said that you don't recognize, you don't realize what you have until you lose it. You know, I don't like that. I don't like that quote. Why does that have to happen, Pat? Why does that have to happen? You know?
Right.
That doesn't have to happen. It doesn't. You know, the quest that I have is on my heart is, you know, dear God, help me to know and never forget or miss the things that matter most. I mean, that's my prayer. I don't want to miss a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to never allow the things that matter the least to compromise the things in my life, in our lives, that matter the most. It's amazing how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That these little things, those little foxes that tear up the vine, you know? So things that matter most are being squashed sometimes by these little insignificant things that are all around us. And that's why it's important to know what are your values, what are your governing values, and to truly maximize life, to really live this to the fullest, and to avoid all, you know, as many regrets as you can. when it's all said and done, you need to know God. I mean, how could your values in your life be prioritized if you don't know him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times have I been at a deathbed of someone who's passing or someone that I've met later in their years, and they say, man, if I would have known, if I would have known then, would I know now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that.
Yeah, right.
It's nothing like wisdom. There's nothing like seeing, you know, life pass by that you realize, man, I could have done some things differently.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done some things differently. And it's only when you have a true abiding relationship with Jesus that we can begin to discern and seek understanding to determine what our values are. You know, the things that mean the most to us. And you must focus, you know, on getting the big rocks in. You know, I read somewhere that if you think of your life like a jar, you only have, it's a certain size, it's only a certain amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go ahead and allow, you know, all the sand and the little pebbles to get in the jar first, you're going to realize halfway through, or if you're lucky, that I wasn't able to get the big rocks in. And the big rocks are the things that matter most.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, oh my goodness, I only have a certain amount of space left, and I can't get the big stuff in. I've let my jar be filled up with all the sand and the little pebbles and the little trivial things.
Right.
And the idea in your life is to get the big rocks in first, to get the things that matter most to you, the things that are your values that are so close to your heart. And once you've got those in, you can allow the little small things and the least things and the sandy things to fill in the crevices and the cracks. Let them just kind of fit in. But you're not going to compromise the things mm-hmm. that matter most by these little stones and these little insignificant things. But sometimes, you know, we fail to recognize this because we get caught up in the daily grind. We get mm-hmm. caught up in the things that we have to do, the things that are, you know, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, it's this appointment, it's that appointment. And we don't sit back and say, hold on. That's why it's important to have some time of rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to step back and begin to look at the landscape and survey your life here to see, hey, am I in the zone? Am I doing? Mm-hmm. Am I moving in my value system? Is my stride where it needs to be, or am I off to the right? Am I off to the left? And that's when we can begin to take time and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to discern our ways and to help us see, you know, if we're in our value, mm-hmm. or in our value zone, if you will. You know, they have a thing with athletes when they're doing well and the basketball player is on fire and he's making all these baskets, everything he touches the ball that's going in, they say he's in the zone.
Yeah.
He don't mess with it. He's in the, get him the ball. He's
right.
Hot. He's
right.
In the zone. Someone's out there running the ball in football and they're busting through all the guys trying to tackle him. He's in the zone. Get mm-hmm. him the ball. Don't pass the ball. Just hand it off to this guy and let him do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's hit his stride. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in the zone of our values. We want to be flowing and moving in those things because those are the things that matter. Those are the things that matter. You know, we are, you know, one of the things that we are as Christian believers, you know, we fail to recognize that we are God's treasured possession. We are God's treasured possession. And in Deuteronomy 7:6 it says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be a people of his treasured possession. And then the New Testament, this is still true, rings true today. God extends the invitation to all, to everyone, to be in his family, to be his people, to be his treasured possession. You know, a treasured possession means that it has significant value. When you treasure something, you don't leave it outside so, you know, a small child can knock it over, it can break, or mm-hmm. it can be taken, right? When you treasure something, you secure it, you have honor for it, you have an even special place that you keep it because it's important to you. You want to make sure that nothing happens to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a possession is something that belongs to you, right?
That's right.
Well, we belong to God. We are his treasured possession, something that he holds dear. And it's so important that if we don't have that understanding, we don't know that we have extreme value to God and that we belong to him, we're totally going to miss that relationship. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about this. But listen, this is why it's important that we seek understanding in all things so that we can seize the day. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Young girls often are naturally interested in fashion, but there are some dangers. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. You know, in a culture that markets to girls with messages of beauty and perfection, Dana Gresh has some words of caution.
The research really indicates that young girls who are exposed to fashion products too soon, who are overconsumed with their body and beauty image, that they're more at risk of eating disorders, depression, and an early sexual debut in their teen years. And then when they're young adult women and they're in that first few years of their marriage relationship, that they have so many scars on their heart and so many body image issues that they can't enjoy the gift that God has given to them.
You'll find tips for good conversations with your tween daughter at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the value of seeking understanding. The value of seeking understanding and how important it is to understand the times that we're living in, to understand the people that are in our lives, to understand what we're doing with our lives, who the Lord is. I mean, there's so many things that we need to get understanding, and we get understanding from God, from our relationship with him. But I'm amazed how many can just go through the motions in life, and they fail to recognize people that are in their lives. They fail to recognize what God is doing and honoring the Lord and saying, listen, don't you, this, you need understanding here. Mm-hmm. You're missing something that's huge. And oftentimes, people can become familiar. They can be, you know, pride is a way of blinding us so that we can't see, that we have, you know, no need of nothing. You know, and Jesus told the church of Revelation, you're poor, blind, pitiful, naked, you know, but they said they were rich. That's what they were able to see. And I see that happening a lot, that many folks are just, they're comfortable with what they know or what they think they know. And then it's only till after they suffer painful experiences, Pat, only after they are down at the bottom that they look up and things become clearer and they become more sober-minded and things are not as fuzzy maybe as they might have appeared before in the past. Mm-hmm. And they look back and say, oh, wow. You mean that wisdom was there all along? Oh, wow. That opportunity was there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I would have did things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you bump your knee a couple of times. You fall on your face a couple of times. You get a couple of scratches. You know, I know. Mm-hmm. And you go back and say, man, I don't want to do that again. You know, I don't want to go around that block one more time. You know, got it. Got the T-shirt. Got the knee scrape on that. Don't want another one.
Right.
And it's important. It's important if you want at the end of your life, if you want it to matter, if you want it to matter, if you want your life to have true significance for God, then you're praying for discernment. You're praying for discernment. You're listening. You're seeking. You're finding out. And what you understand of what you mean to God, that means everything. Because if you understand that your revelation and your understanding is that God loves you, I mean, you have extreme value. That think about the concept here. Thinking about this reality that the God in heaven, manager, creator of the universe, heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool, he's created thousands of galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what we know, right?
Right?
Imagine what we don't know. This is just what we know, we're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
That God loves you. I mean, that's like huge. It's unfathomable to me. It kind of wrecks my mind. I'm like, God, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, David says, you know, I'm a sand. You know, what is it that you're even mindful of me? I remember you were talking to me one time about a way that we can almost get this revelation, a little bit of understanding when
yeah.
we compare ourselves to, what was it?
An ant. You think about it. If you look at if there was anything you could compare it to, it's like one of us looking at this ant mound and having this compassion on it and realizing the only way you're going to reach these ants is you become one of them.
Mm.
That you might save them.
Wow.
That you leave, you know, think about us as a human being becoming an ant.
Wow.
That you might save this ant mound.
Wow.
Those are the two. I mean,
wide spectrums.
Yeah, just a huge spectrum of us. You know that
which is huge.
Sacrifice. Imagine.
Which is huge.
And their lifespans are what?
Nothing.
A blink of an eye. I don't know.
Until you squish it with your finger.
Exactly.
And think nothing of it.
Exactly.
That's
the only thing I can really compare it to. Like Jesus leaving the throne room of heaven.
Wow.
With his Father, and he comes down to be one of us.
Right.
That he might save us. Think about that.
That revelation alone will just wreck your world when,
mm-hmm.
when you just simmer and meditate on those things.
Mm-hmm.
You think about how God has blessed us with a mind to think, with a mind to meditate, with the heart to love him. And just it challenges me, Pat, when I think about, man, you know, I want to think more about God. I want him continually on my mind. When you think about all the stuff that floods folks' minds and the things that they think about, it's
mm-hmm.
like, man, we can redirect those attentions and those focuses on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much to take in and to really understand. You know, God's not interested so much in what we can do for him. He's interested in our love for him. And we can
mm-hmm.
spend years, lifetimes, understanding his love and receiving his love so that we can pour out his love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times people are trying to love others, but they're loving them with what they have, and what they have is very little. You know, I can only love you to the extent and to the proportion that I know what love is.
That you know how.
Yeah, and
right.
if my love is, you know, an inch deep, then, hey, I'm loving you.
Yeah.
You know, and so sometimes we want to say, hey, man, go spend time with God and get a deeper revelation. deeper revelation of how much he loves you.
Yeah.
So that you can fill your cup up and your cup can go running forward.
Right.
And
how it works. That's how multiplication works. You give what you have, then mm-hmm. God gives you back 100-fold.
There you go.
You just keep pouring out, and God gives you more.
Well, keep pouring, and I'm on a quest to pour more because I, I want to grow in that. I want to grow more. It wouldn't be a shame to grow in all these other areas of life if we don't grow in love. Love is the chief thing.
Until we've missed it. Totally missed it.
Until we get asked the question, did you learn
love?
To love. You can learn a lot of things. You can get a lot of understanding.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking to myself right now. I need to learn.
I need to learn, brother.
You love me?
I love you.
But when we totally get an understanding of the value we have to God, we understand that He is for us, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
When God is for us, we understand He is literally for us. Who in this world can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
Who can stop us? Who can derail us? Who can separate us from His love and Him having our back? It truly empowers us to be able to relate to a wonderful Heavenly Father who is rich in mercy, who is full of love. And everything that He does, everything that He instructs us, is rooted in love. Romans 2:4 says, or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? When we understand how kind and beautiful the Lord is and how gracious He is to us and what He has really genuinely spared us from, our only response is a gratitude. Our only response is an attitude of gratitude that says, God, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the whole world to experience this love. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have 4 programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program.
Uh-huh.
And you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Welcome to the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me today on VFN Radio is Pat Hamilton, the producer himself.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Well, look, we're excited to be with you today as we are just continuing to share the light with all of our VFN Radio listeners from all across the country and the world. Don't forget, if you're just joining us, that we have four back-to-back programs, and you can catch it at VFNTV.com. And, of course, check your local listings so you can see us on TV. We have video archives that are available to you at VFNTV.com. We have so many different ways that you can connect with us. Go to VFNTV.com and explore. But, you know, in today's program, we're going to talk about 20 things we should say more often. And this is coming from the kid president. He's going to share a little bit of wisdom here with us. And we're also going to continue on our citizenship game. Listen, you're going to learn some stuff here. And don't laugh at us too much. But I want you to listen to this 20 things that we should say more often. Listen up.
20 things we should say more often. Number 20, thank you. And not just on Thanksgiving, every day. Number 19, excuse me. Number 18, here's a surprise corn dog that I bought you because you're my friend. There'll be more corn dogs, more happy people. This is a good idea. Corn dog for you, corn dog for you, corn dog for you. Number 17, I'm sorry. Number 16, I forgive you. Number 15, you can do it! But don't say it if it's something they can't do. Number 14, another thing that we should say more often, I have barbecue sauce on my shirt too. Before you say something about the barbecue sauce on somebody else's shirt, take a look at the barbecue sauce on your own shirt. Number 13, please. Number 12, everything is going to be okay. Number 11, oh, you got me a corn dog too? You shouldn't have, buddy. Number 10, I don't know. I know a lot of people who need to say that. My sister. Number 9, you're so awesome I named my dog after you. Wait. That could hurt someone's feelings. I mean boat. I named my boat after you. Wait, who even has a boat? You're so awesome, I legally changed my name to yours. Wait, that's super creepy. Just tell people they're awesome and mean it. Number 8. Hello, person I never met before. Here's a high five. Number 7. My sports team is not always the best sports team. It takes a big man to say that. Number 6. Nothing. Sometimes that's the best thing you can say. Number 5. Doesn't mean anything, but it's just really funny. Number 4. I disagree with you, but I still like you as a person who is a human being, and I'll treat you like that. Because if I didn't, it would make everything bad, and that's what lots of people do, and it's lame. Whew, I need a water break, y'all. It's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be mean. Number 3. Sometimes you just gotta scream. Number 2. Life is tough, but so are you. Sometimes we all need to be reminded to keep going. Number 1. Something nice. Anything. If you can't think of anything nice to say, you're not thinking hard enough. So what about...
Oh my goodness. 20 things we should say more often. Pat, if you missed it, thank you. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You want a corn dog? Oh my, you're awesome. And it takes a big person to admit that they don't have the best sports team. Pat, I'm telling you,
I don't know about that one.
I want you to rewind this. I want you to remind this. In fact, let me use one of them. You can do it. You can do it. 20 things we should say more often. Hey, share this funny segment with one of your friends. Let's continue to do 20 good things today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order. And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
And
I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can that be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, I'm going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our southern draw. We got to really enunciate our words and speak more like John Tournament.
Tournament. There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Kind of a meal. Mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. He's like, I didn't
know
about that
one.
Heavy?
Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And I'll tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes by, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this. Jeep. Nope. Don't do.
I
that was the final thing. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Sophisticated. Oh, my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It is time, I want to tell you guys, it is time for the USSSSSS, citizens.
Wow.
I've been trying to get them to do an intro to this, but I had to do my own then because it's like, hey, they're not going to get this intro done. You know, something exciting. We only have 100 questions. Yeah, we need an intro. This is the USSSSSS.
Let's get ready to rumble, right?
That's about what it's like.
Oh yeah, he knows.
Rumblings instead of answers. Well, of course, here's the test. Five questions from the U.S. citizenship test today, off the 100 question test to be able to become a United States citizen. Of course, we already know now. And I just heard. By the way, it was just reporting on the news last night that 65% or something like that Americans didn't understand or know that the U.S. Constitution was the supreme law of the land.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
luckily, a couple of weeks ago, we did. We do now.
We know this now.
We do, because we've taken the test. If you've missed these tests, listen, we do five questions at a time. We humiliate ourselves little by little, not just one big, huge humiliation. And we are taking the citizenship test ourselves, or at least I'm giving it to Pat and John.
Thank you.
So we're learning as we go. We're learning as we go, and we're so surprised that the only ones who really knew anything about America are the ones who just became citizens. Congress don't know, you know, the representatives don't know, Senate don't know, judiciary branch don't know, the president doesn't know, governors don't know. It's like, but, you know, thank God, you know, we know. And so this is how it works. I'm going to ask five questions off the U.S. citizenship test. This is question number 71 through 75, but it's five today. And, of course, if, in fact, I'm going to give you time to think. You always get time to think. And just take your time, but hurry up, because we only have a short program here to be able to do this on. While you're thinking, after the question's answered, you're going to hear. Exactly. And you can think as long as you want to, but as soon as you have your final answer, you're ready to go, let us know. Or the music stops, you got to be ready to go. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's do this thing. Of course, if you get it right, and Pat really loves this part, sometimes he asks for a standing ovation. Yes. And of course, if you get it wrong, I think John got one wrong three times last time.
It's the same question.
Same question. Like, stop when you're behind. Stop when you're behind. Okay, here is question numero uno for El Diaz, right? Mm-hmm. There it is. Question one, John, off the U.S. citizenship test. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803? Ask it again. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803? Wonderful. Here he goes. There's the question, John, to you from the U.S. citizenship test, so you will not have to self-deport. Is what territory? What? I'm punched. Hold on a minute. Jiminy crickets.
he's
is that your final answer? Is that your final? Is that your final answer? You gotta wait the questions ask. Wait the question ask. This is not time to talk about other things. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803.
Okay, wanted to make sure the year was
correct. Oh, come on.
All right, that's what I asked. I wanted clarification.
This is a man that can't remember to put gas in his name. Right, like, 1800 what? 1800 what?
Wouldn't that be the Louisiana Purchase?
Yay! Yes. All the Midwestern states, you're looking at part of Montana and North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, part of Wyoming, part of Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Iowa, you know, parts of Iowa. It's amazing. That was just the center of the United States that was purchased at that point. Pat's having a learning moment.
Why does France own part of our country?
Well, remember, it wasn't ours to begin with. We just took it.
But we were living
That's
here.
That's another test. That was another test. That was another
interesting.
Test. Okay, Pat, here is your question on the U.S. citizenship test for today, so you will not have to self-deport from between the two smokestacks. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s. Wow. Okay.
Wow, that was
quick. Is this going to be your final answer?
Final answer.
Good. Okay. Here's the question. What name one scientific experiment? Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s.
Well, that would be the Civil War.
Very good. Very good. Of course, that would be, one of them would be the Civil War. It wouldn't be just the Civil War, right?
That's the one I know.
Hey, that works.
It works.
That works. John, you want to take one, just a shot at one of these other wars?
I don't like showing off.
That means he doesn't know.
Oh, here's the war's fault in the 1800s. It is the War of 1812. The War of 1812, which is pretty, you know, 1800s, right?
Mm-hmm.
War of 1812. Counts.
Hey.
The next one was the Mexican-American War.
Oh.
You knew that, right?
Hmm. He's quiet. He's so quiet. The Civil War. That's pretty important, right? The Civil War and the Spanish-American War. That was really good.
Wow.
That was really, really good.
I would have never known that.
Yes. 1800s. Because the 1900s, you know, obviously you know what those are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then here we are. Question number next. John, name for this is the U.S. citizenship test that you have to pass this test to be able to be a U.S. citizen, but you don't have to pass it to be a congressman or the president.
Obviously.
You know, wow. Here it is. Name, and by the way, they swear to take an oath to defend this thing.
But they don't know.
They don't know it or they deny its existence. Mm. I deny I've ever known that it existed. Okay. Name the U.S. war. John, name the U.S. war between the North and the South. Name the U.S. war between the North and the South. Oh, here we are. This is your final answer?
Final answer.
And here it is. Here's the question. The question is, name the U.S. war between the North and the South.
Alex, for 1,000, I'm going to say the Civil War.
Yes. It's so important because that was the war between the states. That's when states are fighting states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it pretty well divided between the North and the South, but it was when states were fighting the states. And that's why you see people who fly flags that represent that season of our nation is really, you got to really think about that. You're flying a flag to say, hey, I'm celebrating a divided country.
Right.
Bad times. We're looking, and we want to be careful what we're. Sometimes people do it ignorantly,
mm-hmm.
and some people do it intentionally. But we don't want to be able to. We are the United States, not the divided states of America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was a real, real tough time in American history. And we got some questions coming up about that next. Pat, question number next.
Oh, he's good at that.
From the U.S. citizenship test is, name one problem, just one, because there were several. Name one problem that led to the Civil War. Name one problem that led to America's Civil War. Okay, this is your final answer, right?
That's it.
Here it is. From the U.S. citizenship test, name one problem, just one of them, that led to the Civil War.
Slavery.
Hey.
You can think of three things, slavery, economic reasons, and state rights. But yet they were all intertwined between the economy that was built on the backs of African Americans in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see people talking about economy at the same time they're talking about slavery, It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It makes sense. And so it's fair for all of Americans to listen to the economic equations and possible remedies of things that was done in our country to remedy, to make it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because what you had was you had some states that wanted to keep their economies that was built on the backs of African Americans. That's what they were wanting to do. And that so money was made because many African Americans labored in the fields for that to be able to make that kind of money. So you got economy and you got slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had state rights because states were saying, you can't tell us what to do. We're going to continue to act like this. And we're going to continue to oppress our brothers. Mm-hmm. They didn't say brothers. That's what the North was going like, you can't do that. You got to find some other way. But they had the manufacturing aspect. They were actually, you know, taking advantage of children in the North and working them young in the factories and doing things like that. But their economy was based off machines.
Mm-hmm.
And down south, it was based off of men. And mm-hmm. so they just had a different form of industry. The question is, if they wouldn't have had that, would they have had the same argument? The truth is, you know, righteousness came out of that in the context of it. It was so cool, though. Everybody, you know, of every race was in this war on both sides.
Wow.
So that means that the ones who are fighting for what's right in regards to the freedom to get the economy off the backs of the African Americans, and if they do, if it's their work, then that's their money, and they have the right as an American to enjoy the fruits of their labor, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not for that person to, unless you pay them a wage.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it means that all races fought for the freedom of the slaves, that this is not right. And a lot of times, you know, people present it as if it was just, you know, African Americans that were fighting the white man for freedom. But the truth is, it had to be a lot of every race fighting to be able to free America from this lie, this constitutional lie that said that all men, you know, we declare that all men were created equal, and we weren't living it out, and for many years. And it wasn't until really Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did we finally come to a reckoning of the fullness of that. And now the economic issues, it looks like almost, you know, God's pressing America to deal with the economic issues of the past. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, people, if we're empathetic towards that reality, then we need to be open to whatever God wants to do to bring economic realities and a balance sheet to things in the past. That makes sense.
Yeah,
totally makes sense. You know, our brothers are more important than money,
mm-hmm.
and we want everybody to have a chance to succeed in America. And the last question for today is going to John. Here it is. Question number last from the U.S. citizenship test. What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did? What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did? John, this is the last question for today from the U.S. citizenship test. If you want to be a U.S. citizen, you have to pass this test. What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did?
Emancipation Proclamation.
Wow.
Yes, he actually freed the slaves. He freed the slaves by an executive order, mind you. He wrote an executive order called the Emancipation Proclamation. The thing about his executive order was that it was constitutional.
Right.
It was constitutional. What he wrote was things that you can study about his history. He pondered for years, like, how could we oppress our brother? How could the same constitution not fit all of us? And when he finally gets to this place, he's able to bring the constitutional reality to everybody by signing the Emancipation Proclamation. But it was done in executive order. He didn't go to Congress and say, hey, you know, let's pass a law or let's just change right. this or change that. He did it by executive order, and then things progressed. And we're seeing executive orders done in current administrations and ones before that, that they're actually violating our constitutional rights. They're even under President George Bush about the Patriot Act, where they're going into all of our searching our data and without, you know, violating our Fourth Amendment rights. Currently with the current president violating our Second Amendment rights and the things with different things such as that nature.
Yeah. And the FDR had like about 3,000, didn't he?
I don't know how many he had, but he was a violator of, yes, of a lot of that, a total lot of that. But this is three things he did. He freed the slaves by signing the Emancipation Proclamation as the president. He saved or preserved the united part of the states of America, the Union.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could have blown apart. We could have been two different countries at that one point. And then he led, and I believe if it was, I believe if it did become two, that the southern part of the United States would look like Haiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the northern parts of the United States would look like
Dominican.
Yeah.
Where it's all that fruitfulness and all that. I think that line would have been drawn right there.
Yeah.
And we would have seen just something tragic. And last thing he did is he led the United States during the Civil War. Imagine that. It's one thing leading a war abroad, but when your own brothers are fighting brothers, and his presentation and how he just balanced that and honored even both sides,
yeah,
and brought things together and said things in a way that the Gettysburg Address and all these different things to keep us together. I mean, is that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
That's amazing. Beautiful. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you can see a monument of Lincoln. I mean, he's one of the ones that really just made a huge difference. And he's also on the penny.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with him when they stop the penny.
I know. They need to put him on something else, too. He's
on a $5 bill.
Oh, yeah. That's true. When they take him off the $5 bill, I don't know what we're going to do. A penny used to get gum. Now it takes a $5 bill.
$5 bill to get some gum.
Yeah. Right.
But, well, that concludes today's citizenship test. Y'all did a wonderful, wonderful job. We'll be right back.
AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.